This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Flows into every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. We find in the preservation of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ a guidance. And not just guidance, but as Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ إِسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ in a different qira'ah, you have the best guide, the best example in the Messenger of Allah that Allah left us with. And so in today's khutbah, I wanted to give you a few snapshots into the life of the Messenger of Allah, particularly with the relationships he formed. And it's tremendous when you studying the life of the Messenger of Allah is a never-ending endeavor full of beauty and joy. The more you read, the more you learn, the more you grow in love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so I thought it would be fitting to start with a narration and an incident that happened that perhaps is one of the most fitting to summarize who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, to understand that. And it's a narration about Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu ardah, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who lived, he was among the tribe of Al-Kalb. They lived in the outskirts of Mecca. And he was actually, as a young boy, he was taken as a prisoner before Islam. In the raids and the battles that would occur, he was taken as a prisoner, as a slave. And taken away from his family, from his uncles and his father and his brothers and siblings and the like. And he was sold into slavery, and he ended up under the care and the ownership of Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was then gifted to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his wife Khadija. So now Zayd is the slave of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it was tradition even before Islam that people would come to Mecca and perform Hajj. And so there were members of the tribe of Al-Kalb that came to Mecca, and they saw Zayd, and they recognized him. So they went back and they told his father Al-Haritha, they said, Al-Haritha, we have found your son, he is alive. He's in Mecca. So Al-Haritha gets his brother and he gets some elders from the tribe, and they set off to Mecca. And Al-Haritha, you have to understand, he lost his son. He lost his son. He would, you know, write lines of poetry and he would say different things. Bakaytu ala Zaydin wa lam adri ma fa'al. Ahayyun yurajja am atadunahu al-ajal. And he goes on and on. Like, I cry about my son Zayd. I don't know, like, the pain of not knowing what happened to him. Is he alive so I can keep hoping that I see him again? Or has death come to him? So imagine that feeling as a father of not knowing what happened to your son or daughter. So he now is given the news that we think your son is alive and in Mecca. So he sets off and he goes to Mecca, and then he asks, where is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he is told that he is near the Haram. So he goes and he finds him, and he addresses him, and he's, you know, after saying some words of praise, he tells him that we've come to ask you for our son that's with you. So be good to us, and we will pay a hefty price. We're willing to pay whatever it is that you ask. So the Prophet, when he hears this, he's very confused. He's like, what do you mean, your son with me? He's like, man, who are you talking about? He says, Zayd ibn Haritha. And the Messenger, he says, then why don't I give you a better option than that? Rather than paying some high price, why don't we call Zayd and ask him? And if he wants to go with you, he's free to go with you. And so they said that you have been beyond generous and kind in your justice. We weren't expecting this. We came with a lot of money expecting to pay a hefty price. But if you're going to let our son choose, absolutely. So Zayd is called. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he first asks him, هَلْ تَعْرِفُ هَوْلَا? Do you recognize these people? And he said, yeah, this is my father and this is my uncle. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, so you know who I am. And you know my love for you. So I give you the choice, choose whoever you want. If you want to stay with me, you can stay with me. If you want to go back with your father, you can go back with your father. And you know what Zayd says in response? He says, Wallahi ma ana billadhi akhtaru alayka ahadan abada. Anta minni bimakan al-abbi wal-am. He says, I swear by Allah, I can never choose someone over you ever in my life. You are to me like the position of my father and my uncle in one. And his father is hearing this. Now you have to understand, he's not just choosing to stay with the Prophet ﷺ, but he's choosing to stay as a slave. He's a slave in Mecca. So his father says, "Wait, heck, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" He says, "Are you choosing ubudiyya? Are you choosing slavery over freedom?" And he says, "And you're choosing slavery over being with your father again and your uncle again." And so Zayd, he says in response, he says, "Naam qad ra'aytu min hadha ar-rajul shay'an ma ana billadhi akhtaru 'alayhi ahadan abada." He says, "Yes, because I have seen things from this man that I can never ever choose and prefer someone over him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And so the Messenger, he takes Zayd by his hand and he takes him to the Hijr, Hijr Ismail, you know, the little side part of the Kaaba. And he says, he calls out to everyone and he says, "I call you all to testify, to witness that Zayd is my son. I will inherit from him and he will inherit from me." So Abdullah ibn Umar, he says that we used to call Zayd ibn Haritha Zayd ibn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until Allah revealed the verse, "Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsadu 'inda Allah." Call your adopted sons by their lineage, by their father. This is more just in the eyes of Allah. And so then we called him Zayd ibn Haritha. But subhanAllah, what kind of man, what kind of character, what kind of love and patience and mercy and every single good quality you can imagine would be embodied in a person such that a child, a young boy, young man, would choose a life of slavery rather than going back to be in the comfort of it with his father and his family. And subhanAllah, I'm sharing with you, to start this khutbah, the descriptions of those who were closest to the Messenger of Allah. Because here's the thing, that when we're at work, we kind of have to be on our best behavior. We can't speak to our boss in a bad way, our director, or our supervisor, or co-workers, because there'll be consequences. But it's sometimes those closest in our families, in our social circles, our friends and our extended family, our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents, who we take for granted. And the character that they would testify to would be different, very different than the character that would be testified to us by our friends in the masjid or our co-workers at work. Aisha radhiyallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu, he goes to her and he tells her, "أخبرينا بأعجب ما رأيت من رسول ما رأيت من رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حدثينا بأعجب ما رأيت من رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم." Oh, mother of the believers, tell us the strangest thing you saw from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is after he passed away. And so imagine Aisha being asked this question. You lived a life with the Messenger of Allah. What's the one thing you can choose that would be most amazing? And this is what's going through her mind. I mean, imagine she gets this question and it's like a film roll going through her mind, playing so many memories. How do I choose? And so Ibn Umar, he narrates that, فَبَكَتْ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. This film goes through her mind, and then she literally just breaks down crying. And not just crying, she's like weeping. And she says, "Kullu amrihi kana ajiba." Everything about him was amazing. Everything about him was amazing. Every aspect of his life was amazing. How he treated me, how he treated others, how he treated the kids in the community, how he treated the animals. I can't think of one thing to say. And then she went on to say something about how she was with him one night and the Messenger of told her, Ya Aisha, da'ini ata'abbadu layla li rabbi. Oh Aisha, allow me to worship my Lord tonight. It's her night. And he would, every night of course, would be with one of his wives. And so her turn comes and she doesn't have a turn again for the next time. So she's saying, Oh Aisha, I'm asking you for tonight, Let me worship my Lord. And so she says in response, Ya Rasulullah, inni uhibbu qurbak, uhibbu ma sarrak. I will, O Messenger of Allah, I love to be close to you, but I also love that which makes you happy. And so she describes a narration, a famous narration, which he stood at night and he cried in salah. Until she asked him, you know, why do you do this? And he says, shouldn't I be a grateful slave? But the point I wanted to share with you is when she says, kullu amrihi kana ajaba, that I think I said ajiba before, ajaba, kullu amrihi kan ajaba, that every aspect of his life was amazing. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, again, a servant of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a young man who was with the Messenger of Allah, and he says, khadamtu an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ashra sinin bil Madinah. I served the Messenger of Allah for 10 years, meaning his whole life of Medina. Messenger of Allah was in Medina for 10 years. I served him for 10 years in Medina, and he says, "Wa ana ghulam," and I was a young man. "Laysa kullu amri kama yashtahi sahibi an akun alayh." He says, I wouldn't do everything as he commanded me to do. The Prophet ﷺ asked him to do certain things, and he says, you know, I'm a young guy, like I wouldn't do everything the way he asked me to do it. But he says, but subhanAllah, despite that, ma qala li fiha uffin qat. He never told me uff, like he never said, wa ma qala li lima fa'alta hadha, oh, ألا فعلت هذا. Why did you do this? Why did you not do this? 10 years serving the Messenger of Allah as a servant. So think how, you know, we don't have servants here, but maybe a maid comes to your house or back home, maybe your family, extended family has maids or live-in servants who come, and how they're treated. Never once, oof, never once, why did he do something? He goes on another narration, he says, and if somebody from his household would criticize me. So he never said anything, but what if somebody else at home says, Anas, why don't you do this? You know, he would say in response, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'uh, falaw quddir aw qal law qudi an yakuna kan. He says, leave him alone, because if it was written that it would have happened, it would have happened. Leave him alone. Don't, you know, cry over spilled milk, as we say. And subhanAllah, Anas ibn Malik, and again, he's narrating this about himself. He says one time, and subhanAllah, it's amazing when you read these narrations. He says one time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he first says about him, he says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا. He was the best, he had the best character. He says, فَأَرْسَلَنِي يَوْمًا لِحَاجَةً. So he sent me to go do something, to take care of something. And you know what Anas says in response? He says, فَقُلْتُ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَذْهَبْ. The Messenger of Allah says, go and do something for me. And he says, well, I swear by Allah, I'm not going to go. Can you imagine? Not just your son saying it to the father, but a servant saying to the master. But not just any servant saying it to any master, it's a servant saying it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, wallahi la adhab. And he says, in my mind, I'm telling myself I'm going to go. But for some reason, I was giving him a hard time. I'm just saying, I'm not going to go. So he leaves. And he says, I go into the marketplace. And he says, I passed by some kids who were playing. And so he said, as if he stopped to watch them. He's whatever they're playing, and they're just watching. Just like your son or daughter might do, just watching the kids play. Time goes by. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he now walks by and he sees Anas. He sent him some time ago to do whatever he told him to do. And so he grabs him from the back of his neck and he says, Ya Unais. Unais is like a loving way of saying Anas. Unais, adhabta haythu amartuk. Like, did you go where I told you to go? And he says, yes, Messenger of Allah, I'm going to go right now. But the point being is, subhanAllah, Anas ibn Malik, look what he's describing as a servant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, again, you have to understand when Aisha begins weeping, thinking about the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas, when he's thinking back to this, Imam Ahmad, he records in his book of hadith about Anas, when he talks about the Messenger of Allah, you know what he says? He was talking to the tabi'een after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَلْقَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَأَقُولُ. He says, he's talking about the day of judgment. And he's saying, I'm hoping I'll be able to meet the Messenger of Allah on that day when everybody is saying, nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. And everybody's running from one another. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. You'll be running away from your brother, your mother, your father, your wife, your children. Everybody's running for themselves. He's saying, I'm looking for that day, looking forward to that day when I can see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite telling him, Wallahi la adhab, and going to him and saying, Ya Rasulullah, khuwaydimuk. O Messenger of Allah, I was just but a small servant of yours. I was a servant of yours. Just, hey, remember me. And the companions lived a life like that. Whoever the Rasulullah met, he left such an incredible impact on their lives. A void that could not be filled by anything else. That's why one of the Ansari men, when he was with his family, he remembered the Messenger of Allah and he thought about death and he began crying. And he ran to the Messenger of Allah. He became nervous and he ran to the Messenger of Allah. And he says, O Messenger of Allah, when I think about you and I'm with my family, all I have to do is come and I can see you. And when I see you, my thirst for, you know, the thirst my eyes have for seeing you, O Messenger of Allah, is quenched. I come and I see you. But when I think of my death and I think of your death, I realize that when on the Day of Judgment, you will be raised in the ranks of the prophets and the messengers. But I don't have the deeds of the prophet or a messenger. So I'm afraid on the Day of Judgment in Akhirah, I won't be able to see you like I see you now in this dunya. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he told him a verse that gave his heart comfort and gives all of our hearts comfort when he says, Allah says, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be amongst those who Allah has bestowed His favor upon, from the prophets and the truthful and the righteous and the martyrs. And that's the best companionship. And that's the formula. If we want to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to experience that level of care and brotherhood that he showed to those closest to him and those who weren't even closest to him. It's a simple equation. من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. All my ummah will enter Jannah, except for those who refuse. They said, O Messenger of Allah, who would refuse? He says, whoever obeys me will enter Jannah, and whoever who disobeys me has refused. وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. When you look into the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there may come an example or a thought of someone who, if there's anyone who there may be a somewhat distance in the hearts, it would be a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Maktum, because he was the one who Allah revealed the verses Abasa wa Tawalla. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to Utbah and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, two of the leaders of Quraysh. The biggest enemies of Islam, but also the leaders. Now generally the Messenger of Allah never had an audience with these people. Think early days Mecca. He never would be even given an audience with these people. And now he has two of these leaders. And he's telling them about Islam. And he asks them, he says, هَلْ تَرَى بِمَا أَقُولُ بَأْسًا? Do you find anything wrong or anything that you don't like with what I'm saying? He's making progress actually. For the first time ever, he's making progress with people who not just their Islam is important, but if they embrace Islam, you have a whole community of Mecca that will follow them and embrace Islam. So this is a massive moment in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And he asks them, have you found anything wrong or distasteful in what I have told you? And they say, La waddima or wadduma. No, they take an oath by the blood of the animals that are sacrificed, or by the idols, in a different haraka, if you change the letter of the word, different narration. He's taking an oath by what's important to them. مَا أَرَى بِمَا تَقُولُ بَأْسَا. We haven't found anything in what you say that's distasteful. This is a huge moment. And here comes Abdullah ibn Maktum, who is blind. And he comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's already Muslim. And he begins calling the Messenger of Allah, saying, bring me close, bring me close. And the Messenger of Allah is like, at this time, I'm making progress with such a critical moment. And so his forehead ruffled. Abasa in the Arabic language is translated as frowned, but it's the least type of frown you can do. His forehead literally ruffled like this. Just a little, the least amount of discomfort you could show in your face is what he showed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وتولى, and he turned away from them, from him, and he went back to the two people he was talking to. Different narrations, different leaders. Now, did the Prophet do harm to Abdullah? Because he's blind. So he neither saw this little ruffle of his forehead, nor did he see him turn away. No harm was done, but Allah revealed, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. Allah revealed verses about the Messenger of Allah recording this incident, which is kind of like, you know, like reminding very kindly, gently, lovingly reminding the Prophet ﷺ about what he did that should not have been done. But look at the relationship he has with Abdullah ibn Maktoum. Whenever he would see him, he would say, مَرْحَبًا بِالَّذِي عَاتَبَنِي فِيهِ رَبِّي. Welcome, welcome to the one who my Lord kind of rebuked me about him. And not just him, but his family. Narrations say that Aisha was found, Abdullah ibn Maktoum is out the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha is taking a fruit from that time, Utruj was called, and she's cutting it, and she's dipping it in honey, and she's giving it to Ibn Maktoum to feed, for him to eat. And so the man asked, Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, who is this man, this blind man with you, not knowing who it was? And she said, this is the one who Allah revealed verses about, censoring the Prophet ﷺ about this man. The love he had didn't just stay with him, but his whole family, subhanAllah. This is who he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we hear these stories, it's obviously incredibly difficult to live up to. But it's important to remind ourselves of the ideals that we should try and strive for. When Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you, O indeed, Messenger of Allah, are upon the highest exalted character. What that means is, he's saying three times that إِنَّكَ is emphasis, لَا is emphasis, عَلَى, you are on top of, you have mastered good character. So we ask Allah to give us tawfiq, to be amongst those who not just follow the example of the Messenger of Allah, but follow the every detail of his life, and to give us tawfiq to have husnul tiba', to have a beautiful following of his life. It's a difficult task because he was the best of creation. And we're all human beings and we all have different, you know, weaknesses. But it's an ideal we should strive towards. May Allah make us amongst those who are kind and embody the character of the Messenger of Allah to our families, our friends, our environment, our masajids, our communities, and all who we interact with. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Wa aqimis salah.